Tomorrow marks 100 days of America under the leadership of President Donald Trump, the first president in U.S. history to have never held any political office or at least to have served in the military before being elected president. As VPR continues to gauge public sentiment on the first 100 days, we're returning today to a guest we've been speaking with since just before the inauguration of President Trump, and that's Brendan Nyhan, a professor in the Department of Government at Dartmouth College, who's been warning about the potential dangers from an erosion of norms under this unusual president. Brendan Nyhan, it's a pleasure to speak with you again.
Thanks for having me.
So 100 days in, have any of your concerns about an erosion of political norms been eased at all, or have they increased?
Well, I would say there's good news and bad news. Certainly, some of the most extreme fears haven't been realized, and that's, of course, welcome. But I think in some ways those fears have been caricatured. There was a whole Wall Street Journal editorial that basically said, Trump is in Hitler, therefore everyone's worries about him are invalid. And I think that's both the wrong comparison, and we're at far too early a stage to draw any final conclusions about where we are or what damage may be done.
Well, Professor Nyhan, what are some norms that you've seen recently that you feel might be endangered at this point?
I think we should be concerned about the attacks we're seeing on the legitimacy of the judiciary and its role in our democracy. We're a nation of laws. That's an important constraint on the actions of people in power. And we depend on politicians and people in government to respect the decisions of judges, even when they disagree with them. You know, and that pattern of over-the-top attacks on other institutions of government continued Tuesday night when the office of the press secretary of the White House issued a statement saying that city officials in so-called sanctuary cities, quote, have the blood of dead Americans on their hands, and describing the judicial ruling against the Trump administration as, quote, a gift to the criminal gang and cartel element. That kind of language is very dangerous and raises questions about this administration's respect for the rule of law. This kind of language, just like the calling the media the enemy of the people, challenges the legitimacy of fundamental parts of our democracy. We depend on a free press and an independent judicial system as part of our constitutional democracy. And those are being attacked in a way we haven't seen before.
I want to get to some of those issues you just mentioned. One of them is President Trump, for example, never retracting his claim or apologizing for saying that President Obama ordered wiretapping of his residence at Trump Towers despite any evidence that that occurred. This created a pretty big brouhaha at the time. It seems largely forgotten now. And assuming you feel it's important not to let such an assertion by Trump go by the boards, why is that important?
Well, it's usually consequential when the president of the United States makes an accusation of that magnitude, accusing the former president of what would have been one of the great scandals in political history, based on no evidence whatsoever. You know, there's a tendency to laugh these statements off, to say, well, that's just Trump being Trump. But he's the president of the United States. When he's in this position and he makes those sorts of assertions, it triggers all sorts of repercussions. But in the meantime, the norm against presidents making these sorts of accusations without evidence is further weakened.
You mentioned the president's business dealings. Is this still a problem in your view?
It is. The norms against self-dealing while in office are not as enforceable, I think, as people realized. There's a lot you can get away with within the law. And we've seen, for instance, that you can refuse to release your tax returns. You can refuse to put your assets into a blind trust. You can fly almost every weekend to your country club or visit other properties you own while in office. There's no formal prohibition against any of those specific actions. Now, there's a lawsuit being brought against the administration, and we'll see where the legal case goes. But in the meantime, these were never even questions that were seriously considered before this administration in the contemporary period. Now we're seeing the Trump brand being in a position to benefit from him serving in office. That is damaging to the kinds of norms that we hold in a liberal democracy, where we would like public officials to be insulated from conflicts of interest that could distort their judgments.
You mentioned before Mar-a-Lago, the president's country club there. The U.S. Embassy in Britain recently was promoting Donald Trump's Florida state Mar-a-Lago on its website. And that's a private business, which under U.S. law can't be promoted on a government website. Now, I think that promotion was actually removed after some people pointed it out in the comments section on that site. Do you see the fact that it was removed after people took notice of it and protested as a sign that efforts at eroding norms are being resisted? Or is it a more troubling sign that it happened in the first place?
I'm more troubled that it happened in the first place. It was quite blatant. It used Trump's preferred terminology of referring to Mar-a-Lago as the Winter White House. I do think that's very troubling. It's good that it was taken down, but it certainly raises more concerns about how these kinds of conflicts of interest can creep into all sorts of aspects of governance, even in places we might not expect. I don't think anyone thought the UK embassy was going to be promoting Mar-a-Lago a year or two ago, but here we are.
I want to get your take on this. You know, maybe I think the biggest sign of the old norms passing on, and that's a recent poll I saw that was taken among voters in Florida, Wisconsin, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. Those are all states that Trump won in the election. It shows a majority of Republicans think that Trump exaggerates or intentionally lies on a regular basis, but they don't care. They still support him. And the inclination might be to say that's a big problem, but would you consider that maybe these voters see something that matters more to them than traditional political norms, something that perhaps the rest of those who would be appalled by that survey are missing?
Well, I think we're all good at rationalizing behavior by people with whom we share values or share a partisan identity. Lots of Democrats went through these internal contortions to try to justify their support of Bill Clinton. They downplayed his behavior and minimized the questions that were raised about his conduct in the workplace, regardless of the merits of the impeachment case. I think we're seeing something similar now. It's become harder to deny that what Trump says is false or unsupported on a very regular basis. Often multiple times in a single interview, he will say something that is false or unsupported. And so what we've seen is people retreat to a position of instead defending the president by saying he's doing that intentionally to mess with the media, to promote his interests, to argue for the cause that I share with him. There's no right answer as to which candidate people should support or whether they should approve of Trump's performance in office. I do think it is troublesome when a party is forced into the position of defending systematic misinformation in this way. Every president lies and distorts information, but the frequency with which Trump is doing it is putting his supporters in the public and in Congress in a very awkward position. And I do hope we can restore those norms because we need both parties defending them. It can't be a partisan issue in the way that it is now long term. That's a terrible position for us to be in as a democracy.
Brendan Nyhan is a professor in the Department of Government at Dartmouth College. Thank you so much for taking the time.
My pleasure. Good to talk, Mitch.